man, our show could be really good if we could just shut up.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I thought you were starting the show with a mime act, so I was going to say, this is not going to fly.
Oh.
Episode 274, let's try things different. I agree with you there, but I don't know if a mime
podcast. You could do the thing. You could try a mime podcast. See how it goes. For people
right.
that don't want all this yip yap,
mm-hmm.
you know, too much. Dave's doing some mime now. It's very pornographic. I can't even stress enough.
I was doing the wall. How is that pornographic?
Really? Oh, I thought you were doing some stuff with mm-hmm. some people that you were pushing. With
I thought
your,
I was pulling on a rope.
There you go. And trapped in a box. It all works. And we're starting with a dirty joke. How about that?
Yes.
So if you're listening to this with your parents, this just got awkward. And some of you do. Oh, we've heard that you listen to this with your parents. First of all, it's great that you do anything with your
yes,
folks. That's a nice
fantastic.
Bonding thing. Good
that's
for you.
Fantastic.
And if you're those kind of parents that listen to this with your good for you, too.
Sure.
You're all great people.
That's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Couldn't say more good things about you.
But it makes me blush for last week's show.
Oh yes.
I'm stricken.
Clutch the pearl.
Stricken. To death.
We were talking about sex ed films, and it was nice. A friend of the show, Louise Moon, mentioned the name of one of those sex ed,
yes.
like Girl to Woman.
Okay.
Which was great because then I was able to look that up, found it on YouTube, and also found the Boy to Men.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the band Boy to Men, which is not Boys to Men, but is the only surviving member of Boys to Men. Oh, I hope members of Belt. Is anyone dead from Boys to Men? Is that a terrible joke?
Three of them are dead now.
Oh. Well, so it's just reality.
I don't know.
Oh, well, tragedy plus time.
Yeah. Joey has passed
so,
on.
So we put that on our page. So if you go to the episode and look in the message area, that's there. And if you go to our Facebook page and you want to know about sex ed, we put up those films there. So there you are.
Thanks.
If you've all, like, if you're like me and went like, what was the other one? Because you just got the boys one because you're the boy, or you just got the girls one because you're a girl. Now you can do that. Go check it out. And get the full story.
Get the full story.
Yep.
You can giggle with embarrassment as if you were back in high school.
Right. You'll know everything they knew in the late to mid-60s about sex.
Sure.
It's after changed that, a whole bunch of stuff was
changed
added.
So much. We don't, yeah. Before, in the early 60s, they didn't have a 69 yet.
That's right. That was
It was a move that was named
yeah,
after
that was
a year.
The 1969 World's Fair.
Yeah.
They introduced that sexual position. It was
that's
one of the
right.
first World's Fair
that's right.
to introduce a sexual
mm-hmm.
position.
Exactly right.
Yeah, Expo 67 tried it, but it was a little too sharp and poked someone in the eye. And they went, no, to that. No, pardon.
Yeah.
No. We that's tried it with Expo 86, but it required three people.
Mm-hmm.
That did not go well either.
No,
yeah.
That was... Yeah.
And so on. Folks, let's tell you what we got going on in terms of contests off the top, and we'll tell you off at the end as well. We've got some entries into our, hey, you want to come eat at White Spot with us
mm-hmm.
Contest,
yes.
which is a very vague contest.
It's a very vague
we don't know
contest.
When it's going till. We don't know what it will contain. All we know is if you want to, we normally eat at White Spot after the show, and if you want to join us for that, let us know, and we'll put your name in a hat, and we'll draw, and then we'll treat you to a meal at White Spot. Once again, White Spot does not sponsor this show.
It doesn't.
There is no reason we're giving this kind of stupid ad to White Spot at all. It's dumb that we're doing this.
As usual.
But a couple
Someone once said we're terrible at promotion.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we're great at promotion, just not for us.
That's right. Yes, we keep promoting White Spot.
We have a t-shirt available that's a parody of a White Spot thing with our dragon on it for crying out loud. We are, I don't know. I don't think we know what we're doing. So there's that.
Well, and that's true.
And we got a second thing going on where if you tell us a story, send us in a WAV file, an MP3 or what have you, and we'll give you the way to do that by the end of the show. Dave will put some music up that will basically the soundtrack to your story. And we want that to be about 2 minutes in length. The theme is the one that got away. Could be romantic, could be a job, could be something, could be a dog got away from you for a while, came back. It doesn't have to have got away forever,
mm-hmm.
But that's the general theme.
Don't forget, you can also look up Sneaky Dragon on Skype, and you can call us through Skype. I was going to call it Snipe. Through Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And leave a voicemail for us. And
so
that will
Sneaky
have...
Dragon, that's not with any underscores
nope,
or any
it's
business?
It's Sneaky Dragon. Sneaky Space Dragon.
Oh, so it is Sneaky Space Dragon.
But it's, well, I mean, space, like the space between the two words.
Oh, okay, so it's not an underline.
It's not an underline or anything. No,
okay.
No. And there's no space. Like,
the
I didn't
word
mean literally.
Isn't space.
It's not Space Dragon, but.
We're not Space Dragon.
Yeah.
Sneaky, I would like to be Space Dragon. That'd be a shift, good podcast. I'd like to listen to that one.
What? Space Dragon?
Yeah. Wouldn't you listen to a podcast called Space Dragon just to see what the heck it was about?
Well, as usual, we missed the boat on that one.
Yeah.
Nice to suggest it now. 274 episodes in.
True.
No, like it.
Now, I'd like to apologize to you, as we are a Canadian podcast. Must always start off with an apology.
It's true.
I bought you a Coke, and you mentioned,
thank you.
Oh, right, I don't drink sugar right now. Because of...
Lent has started. Yes, Lent started yesterday, March 1st. Went to my Ash Wednesday service. Had someone smear a mixture of oil and ash in my head, which, of course, during the service, you then scratch that because it's a little itchy. Mm-hmm. And then you spread it all over your forehead. So then you have this giant sort of ash cloud spread around on your forehead. Mm-hmm. And then you go home and wash it off.
How long does it take to wash it off? When is
it's nothing. To be honest with you, I didn't wash it off until I went to bed, which was around 1 in the morning.
I forgot about it. Newscasters speaking with ash on their foreheads, reporters and whatnot.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if that's. I wonder if that was like a common thing, much less common now, obviously, but that you would see people like going to grocery stores or whatever, you know, doing their daily things after the service and not being self-conscious that they had this big smudge of ash.
It was a big thing. Yeah, we'd always like have the ash and wear it for as long as we could. And then, you know, I forget when in the evening you had to wash it off, but it was like, aw. You wanted to keep it.
Because our services are in the evening, so it starts at 7 and ends 8-ish.
You have to go to a late-night fast food place. Well, you wouldn't even go. You're going to have a soda, so why would you go to a fast food place?
Yeah.
Annoying. Have a cup of coffee, and you wouldn't do that. Madness.
Yeah, no, it's...
Is it ground up or burnt palm leaves?
That's right. That's right. Because we had our Shrove Tuesday, the pancake dinner on Tuesday night, and so people can bring back their palm... things, palm crosses from Palm Sunday. Year before, and then they're burned outside in a little bonfire in a little metal container, and then that ash is mixed with oil, and then it's smeared onto your forehead.
Is it palm oil?
No, I don't think so.
That makes
sense. It's probably palm oil.
For the environment, but it would be possible.
I believe it's a particular kind of oil, and I think it's called chrism. That's used for baptism and stuff like that.
And so later on, you know, you can know who the
Christ-ism.
Religious folks are.
I know what you're going to say.
Yes. You end up with a zit right there.
You end up with a zit, yes.
Yeah, so you all know who are the believers because they've got the zit of faith.
That's right, the holy pimple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty good. And we have a newish priest at our church, and he's very talented. He's very musical. So last night he wrote a song that we sang to the confession. Like you do a kind of general community confession of wrongdoing through the year. And then
I don't know what this is. As a Catholic, all I know is you go into the box, you tell the thing to a guy,
Protestant,
and get shamed a little bit.
That's right. Protestant churches took it in the open. They said, we're not going to do a individual confession. We just do a sort of general public confession every week. You do it before Eucharist.
So you mentioned
Eucharist.
Something you've done that
No,
week.
You don't say what you've done. It's just a non-specific. This is what I say, general. Just sort of a general sorry for what I have done or what I haven't done. I've disrespected.
And you keep it in your own head and heart, and you know what it is.
Yeah.
And then who,
no need to make a big fuss
And then
fuss
what happens
about it.
After you've done that? What's the process?
Then the priest does a kind of blessing of everyone and absolution. And then the idea is that you are then cleansed of sin or a sense of sin or a sense of wrongdoing. And then you're ready for the community table for the Eucharist.
Okay. Now it's So there's no penance that doesn't exist, or do you choose your own penance?
No, there's no penance.
Okay.
No, because in Protestantism, once again, because it's the idea of Christ's grace that is freely available to you, that you don't need to crawl around on the floor, thrashing yourself.
I
with
don't
a stick.
Believe that was what I think it was more like three Hail Marys, but okay, fair enough.
But you know what I mean, right?
Thrashing on the floor.
There's no sense that we carry some weight of guilt that we have to like make. There's not an idea that there's
you don't
reparations
have to make amends,
required,
but you do have to apologize.
Exactly, like one of the reactions that of where the Protestant Church came out of was that the Catholic Church, sort of corruptly using the penance, but using confession as a way to get money out of people. The idea that you could, you could pay a certain amount of money in order to be quote unquote sin free. The Protestant Church said, well, that's meaningless. Like there's no need to do that because, by the idea of Christ is that we are free of
let me ask you a bigger question then. So Catholic,
much bigger.
So here's the thing. You got Catholic Church, you got your Protestant Church, yeah. Church in the old-timey days.
Yeah.
So whatever the old-timey days are, let's say we're there.
Okay.
So you got the Catholic Church, and they're going like, hey, give me a couple of bucks, and I'll get rid of your sins.
Mm.
And the Protestant Church is like, we don't need that.
Yeah.
So where's the Protestant Church getting their money? Or is like the Catholic Church then, are they like enormous churches, and the Protestant Church is the one next door that looks like a shack? Because they're not dipping into...
It might have been like
getting
that.
Getting their beak wet.
Yeah. It almost would have been like... And it's sort of a continuing procession, right? So you've got let's say Lutheranism, because that grew out of Martin Luther. So you've got like these giant Catholic cathedrals, and then the Lutheran churches, which are still pretty fancy, because I mean people were still tithing and giving to the churches, and so you know they're pretty fancy. And then when the Anabaptists came, and those and like the sort of later Protestant churches, there were even more downgraded in terms of building, and it just kept going down and down, you know. Particularly, like you look in, like in England, where you had the Anglican Church, which was an establishment church, and so they were given money not just from people, but people were required almost like a tax to tithe to the church, even if they weren't Anglicans. Mm-hmm. Catholics would have to pay the tithe.
Yeah,
that went to the government that was then given to the church. Yeah, and so you'd have, you know, these incredible, beautiful churches in these kind of small villages and stuff like that. And then if there were people there who were members of like the dissenting sects, the dissenters, they would have like these little temples, you know, like their smaller churches that were like just sort of small, very, very plain.
Let me
buildings.
Ask you this. Is who is the equivalent of Michelangelo in either the Protestant or the Church of England world of art? Of decorating churches and putting stuff together,
that's a good question. But I don't think there is an equivalent, and I think that the one came after the other. Like you know that Michelangelo was in the Renaissance, kind of came out of a time when the church was very wealthy.
Yes,
and people outside of the church too, merchants and stuff like that. The merchant princes and stuff of Italy, like the that family that we all know about because they're so the Medici's, I guess. Were they?
I think I'd say the Trumps, but okay, yes, gotcha.
The Trumpici's. of their day, who had the money to pay artists to memorialize them or paint something that made them important. And so, yeah, there was all that money, that free-flowing money. But I think that there are people who came out of the Protestant, like Hieronymus Bosch would be an example. And if I could think for a while, I'm sure there were others. But I think more of the money went into... And part of that was Protestantism was a sense that the churches shouldn't be like a showy place. Mm-hmm. And so, like during like the Civil War in England, when the Roundheads, they would just go around and smash stained glass windows and break up all the sort of decorations in the churches because they should just be plain places of worship.
What are your
and not
feelings
have,
on that?
That's bullshit.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay. This is the one thing I got to give. And again, I'm not really a pro Catholic by any means because of having been Catholic. But you know, I go like that's
usually a stumbling block.
The art was nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's still around.
Sure,
that marks time, and you go that's eternal or not eternal, but it's that's a pro supporting the arts. I'm for that.
It's sort of an atavism that we can understand. You know, that sort of reaches back through the ages into the past, but we still feel connected to it, you know, unlike, say, the liturgy from that time period or even the theology of that time period would seem very alien to us. But the art, you know, it does reach back to us, you know, or to reach forward to us. And so that is interesting. I agree with you there. And I think that the Protestant churches had interesting architecture, you know, like Baroque architecture and the Rococo and stuff like that flourished in Germany and during the Protestant times. So there are churches that are very ornate and fancy.
Yep.
But they didn't have like a lot of like. There is stained glass. This just wasn't as much as important, I guess. But you know, our church has a little bit of stained glass. Stained glass is very expensive, so it's hard for smaller, you know, small scale churches nowadays to have such things. But
if they said
have
to,
a little bit.
If they said to you, Dave, we want you to paint the roof of the church with your art, would you do it?
Paint the roof? Oh, the ceiling? The
ceiling, yeah.
Well, no, I don't have time for that sort of thing. So.
Well, they had some money for
it. Oh, they're going to pay me?
Yeah. Pay
some pay good money?
Well, not big money. They're going to match your pay at work.
Oh, okay.
So you're gonna spend a couple of years doing the ceiling.
That's interesting, isn't
throw
it?
Throw a couple of dragons in there if you need to.
If you throw some dragons. It's, that would be an interesting request, I suppose. I don't know if I don't think I'd be up for it in terms of talent, but...
Oh, it's not... Here's the thing. Do you think like when Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel and they came up to Michelangelo and went, we want you to do the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah.
Do you think he went, You got it. No problem. I got this. And then when it was done, nailed it.
Yeah.
Check it out. You know, or was he like, oh, what I'm not worthy. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. And I'm sure he felt like, I don't know even what to paint.
Yeah.
What do they want me to paint? Like, I don't have any ideas. I don't know anything.
It's mostly a filler. Oh, it's no. Mostly. I mean, I like the guy in the garden in the middle, but excuse me.
I like that he went to like the first, like it's like he opened the Bible and went, what's in here anyway? I've never read this thing. Oh, there's a, okay, God and
enough
then
to
Adam.
Fill a whole
God and
ceiling.
Adam, okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the obvious, the highlights, you know. Had someone to tell him what's in it. So what's in this book anyway? Well, this happens. Oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, no, I'm sure that was the case, but.
In the middle of it, you're like, hey, you did that already. It's over in the corner. Did I? Oh, no. I'm repeating myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so much easier just doing that David sculpture.
The real problem for any, whether it's Catholicism or Protestantism or whatever, is that, you know, is they inevitably end up getting wrapped up in the politics of the time and the politics of the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as part of power plays and you know, whether it's in Germany or Great Britain or whatever, people are like, oh, this Protestantism, this is a whole new, screw you, Pope. We're not going to give you a bunch of money anymore. We're going to take this, you know, or people would be like, screw you, next door neighbor, duchy. We're Protestants now. You Catholics are scumbags. We're going to march against you and have a war. Get all the people riled up. These Catholics are eating babies. Look at them. Let's go, you know. Really, just wanted the land, but whatever convenient excuse you could have.
I wonder how many Hail Marys it would be if you told your priest you had a baby. You went up to him like, five?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
I think that's reasonable. Well, the baby's fine.
Baby's in heaven.
Is it baptized or not baptized?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, see, that'd be important. If it was not
baptized. Wait, what is worse?
Not baptized.
It's worse to eat a non-baptized baby?
Yeah.
Oh, who cares about that baby, that sinful baby?
No, but it goes so it doesn't get to go to heaven.
You're not blaming the baby? You're forgiving the baby not being baptized?
That's right.
Okay.
Like if you ate a baby before,
things and those sinful
Well, it's not
babies.
The baby's fault; it's the parents'
Someone
fault.
Someone likes a sinful baby is what I is what I'm
I.
I
just mean, what if you ate it before it was baptized? It's going to be baptized, but before it gets baptized.
Oh, just before it was baptized.
Yeah.
Boy, you'd really think God would cut you a little slack on that, right? Mm. So just go like we're going to let that one slide.
Not according to Catholicism. That's where they got all the limbo and all that stuff from.
Maybe limbo's not that.
It's
bad.
So weird, right? Like you start off with like an idea.
Yeah.
Like. You start off like, you're going like, okay, it's important that we are baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, yeah, Christ said that. Christ said it's important we're baptized. And then someone goes, what if we're not baptized? What happens to us? Oh, well, you probably go to hell or something like that. Oh, okay, that makes sense. It doesn't say that anywhere, but let's just say that. We'll assume that that's true. You got to go somewhere. We're not going to go to heaven. We're not baptized. Christ said we have to be baptized. So what? Then someone else goes, well, what about babies? Babies, they don't have any choice. They don't know what's going on. Oh, well, there's probably like a limbo where they go for a while and where they dance.
Go for a while.
I don't know, because there's no specific time,
okay,
right?
Right, yeah.
Like, how long are they
in
limbo?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I remember that was the thing. Was like, there was the two versions of limbo. One was you go to limbo forever.
Yeah.
Or two, you work your way out of limbo.
Okay.
But by doing what?
Yeah, and when you're limbo, a baby.
Like,
what do babies
do? Is there a make-work program there? Do you study?
Yeah.
Is there a school?
Mm.
Like, what's the situation? Or is there just a locked amount of time? And if so, well, what's that matter? You got eternity.
Yeah.
So what? Oh, you got eternity. But, you know, guess what? For 12 years of eternity, you got to be in limbo.
Yeah.
Well, then you get eternity. Well, then it's fine.
This is
then
where you get
not
all
a
the.
Problem.
This is where you get all the YouTube baby videos from. They're made in limbo, and that's how they work their way out.
I remember, like, being grade two, and we were told in Catholic school about, you know, that you got to be baptized and all this. And I said, well, what if you're in a part of the world that doesn't believe in this?
Yeah.
And that really stumped him.
Yeah.
But it's just like, well, this can't be the first time you thought of it. I say now to myself, that never came up.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy in grade two stumped mm-hmm. you on this theological
sure.
thing. It's like, yeah, what about them? Well, they could find they could find a way. But
no,
what if they don't? What if
they
there
don't.
Wasn't a missionary
they
or
do
someone
not.
Who shows up?
They do not. Because if you think of the Dante's Inferno, the first circle, the best circle of hell, that's where he meets Virgil, who is a Roman poet,
mm-hmm.
who was a worthy person to go to heaven, but because he had not been baptized or was a Christian, he had to go to the first circle of hell.
Right.
Does that seem freaking fair to anybody?
Well,
no,
it depends.
Of
how bad is the first circle of hell?
I don't know. It's still hell.
Well, it seems like you got the run of the joint. Virgil can walk around like
he
wants. And...
But he can't leave. He can never leave hell. Hmm. So whatever it is, it is. I like the... I'm going to go completely an aside here, but there's that great book by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, which is called The First Circle, which was... when he was in the Gulag, he was sent to the Gulag for writing insulting comments about Stalin to a fellow army officer. And they both were arrested and sent to Siberia. And so he was working there building a hydroelectric dam with the kind of super great equipment they had for prisoners, of course, which was none. And so, you know, people were freezing and dying, and it was just terrible. And then, and the main thing you wanted to do when you went into a camp, when they ask you, like, fill out this form, you know, your name and da-da-da, and what do? And everyone would write, like, cook. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, job cooking, you could be indoors. Well, he reached this point where he's just like, I don't give a shit anymore. So he just wrote mathematician. That was his job, which is true. He was. He was a mathematician, yeah. And he was a professor in university. Well, by writing that, he got plucked out of this hell, let's call it the seventh circle, and he got brought up to the first circle, which was being put into the scientific gulags. This is where scientists who were enemies of the people but could still be doing work for the benefit of the government were housed doing, and that's what he became. He became this person who in this first circle
of hell. You want to flip that around and we got a nice Wernher von Braun situation.
How do you mean? Was he in a first circle of
hell? Well, no, I'm just saying, like, there was a Nazi who was like, you know, hey, you know, you could work for America and you could help us build rockets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all pencils have erasers. Come here, you, you knucklehead. Yeah, some stuff happened. Come here. Sure. Help us get to the moon.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, okay.
I mean, I guess it depended. I mean, who knows? Things get rather gray really quickly at that time period.
Yep.
But, yeah, so he was working. And it's the book, he wrote a novel about it called The First Circle, his experiences. And it's quite good because there's things like this guy, these guys working to develop a way to make the voice in the telephone more recognizable so that the government could find people and arrest them more easily. You know, so you're working away on just something that's going to, and that's why it's hell. And eventually Solzhenitsyn said, you know what, fuck this, I'm out of here. And he actually requested to be put back into the regular gulags.
Wow.
Expecting he would just die there. But he didn't want to be working for the government.
Let me ask you, that is interesting. Virgil, did he ever complain about his situation?
You know what? I have never read Dante's Inferno.
I can't remember it.
I feel like a jerk for not having done so.
Did you ever read the cartoon about the guy who was sent to hell for cheating on his thermodynamics exam? Did you read that?
You know what? I've never read that comic about a guy who was sent. What is it called?
No, it's just like a little comic, and it's a guy, and it's like he gets to the afterlife, and it's like, well, I'm sorry you're going to hell. It's like, why? Well, because you cheated on your thermodynamics exam. It's like, what? It's like, well, you're just going to be sent to the top level of hell. Like, oh, okay, that's fine. And heat rises. You'd known that if you hadn't cheated on your thermodynamics exam.
There you go.
Yeah.
I never read that.
That's kind of a joke a mathematician would probably enjoy.
That's right. He would be rolling on the floor. Me, as a former like English lit major,
should have read Dante's Inferno.
I should have read. I never. I could have. You know, I could have got there because I was studying Italian. Man, that Coke there is tempting. I'll tell you that.
Sorry,
look, I got to disturb. It's not that it's. Oh,
no,
thank you.
Give me this.
It's not that it's. It's not that I want to drink it. It's just so habitual for me to have the Coke and slurp on it. And throw it in a box. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Everything's out of the way. There we go.
That's nice. Thanks.
Is our pal Branwyn on her sugar fast at this point?
I have not heard anything about it, so maybe not.
I should, you know who would know? My wife Pia and my sister-in-law Vicky, because they are right now at Emerald City Comic Con as we speak, having a meal with Branwyn Bigglestone, our buddy.
So if that was the case, then she could not be having. She doesn't shape me as much of a pop person, though. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to say that right now.
We will find out, and if she is, we will let you know, because it's always a worthy cause that she's on that for. Not that Lent isn't a worthy cause as well. It's just a coincidental thing that they're both off the shug at the same time.
Yeah.
They can relate to each other and do that thing. Normally, actually, at Emerald City, it feels like she's just about to get off that thing. Mm-hmm. It's the end of it, but now it's the beginning of it. I guess it's
a different time this year, though, isn't it?
Oh, dude, I have no idea.
Because it feels earlier.
This snuck up on me like nobody's business.
Yeah, me too.
At all. It didn't look like Pia was going to be going, and then we just decided the last second, heck with it, just go.
Yeah.
So I'm in charge of the cat's medicine and doing all that kind of stuff.
You're going tomorrow.
No, I am not. It's a shame because the Critical Hit Show is going to be there on Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
And I probably, unless something radically changes, I will probably not be doing that, which is a bit of a drag, but it's okay. We just had the fifth anniversary, so that was kind of a big thing. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got a lot of people in the cast now. They're going to do a good job. But yeah, it's kind of my favorite con.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's fine.
Well, I was thinking of driving down.
Dun, dun, dun.
So if you...
On what day were you thinking of?
Well, I was thinking of Sunday, but if Saturday works better...
Dun, dun, dun.
So think about it.
All right, let's talk about that maybe
putting
tomorrow.
Putting that out there.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. Because... And also, who knows what it's like at the borders now.
Seems like everyone I've heard from has gotten across fine, so...
I have heard different, and here's
is
what
that right?
I've heard different.
Okay.
Yeah, a friend of mine went with her pal,
yeah.
And it turned out this this friend had a shoplifting charge
that's a problem.
From 21 years ago.
Yeah, still
was
a problem.
That was on his juvenile record.
Yep.
And, yeah, and basically he got sent back and now can't go try to get back across the border for about 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can't, you cannot, because obviously if he had a shoplifting charge, it was a felony charge, that not a... Not,
but as a juvenile, 21 years ago, which he has not had a problem with this before, but the crackdown is much stronger right now. I've got no criminal background.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, who knows? Who knows? Do you know? I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows? We'll
still,
see.
Still be fine.
Okay.
Give it a go. Give it a shot. What's the worst that can happen?
Oh, wait. No. Do you want to know what the worst that can
happen? No, no. Okay. We've talked about that before. I talked about that before. You're right. There's a lot of bad things that can happen, like 5 years not being able to cross the border.
There's a little bit of me that's also like, you know, it feels like right now is a time where they are doing the kind of harder thing, and it's like maybe, you know, and I like going to Hawaii when we need a break.
It's
it's nice to have that, you know, or something happens, you know, and we want to go to LA to you know, for some sort of business thing. That's also nice. It feels like I don't want to risk it. Maybe on this, you know, when, if so, that closes the door for X amount of time.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that. But, like, you know, like you say, you don't have a criminal record, so there's...
I know, but again, these are folks that were turning away people with green cards recently, you know, and they've given a lot more power to people on the border, and
That's a bad idea.
Toughie.
That's a bad idea. But you know what? Personally, I have more trouble getting back into the country than I do leaving the country. So
So what's the deal with that? Like, I know your daughters had issues with that like a little while ago too.
Yeah, and that was odd because they're Canadians, so there should be no reason to give them a hard time for going driving across the border to pick up a package and come back again.
Though I guess they are young enough that they could be troublemakers.
Oh,
they might be picking up some drugs. A
couple
of
sisters driving in their mom's car.
Yeah,
look out.
Well, a couple of suburban young women.
Yeah,
I guess. They go to pick up a package, you know, in Bellingham.
Sure.
What's that all about? You know, I mean, that's you know, in the past that would have been a red flag, and maybe it's a red flag now.
Yeah. Yes, he did give them the.
They don't
the
know that they're
degree.
Clean as a whistle.
Mm.
They don't know they've had a good upbringing. It could be trouble.
Yeah,
big trouble. Here's my word.
I don't know about good upbringing. They've had an upbringing.
I have this like thing in my head where you know, sometimes things happen just for dramatic completion, and I feel like what would happen is you and I would go across the border on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We would get called in, and all of a sudden we'd have to do a comic story of like back to the border because we did one years and years ago.
Yeah.
And this time it's like, and now it's like this. And it's like, well, the more things change. And people go, that's a great comic. And we really enjoy your comic. And we go, oh, it's kind of good that, no, I just don't want it. You know what I mean? They go like, see, it's good. It starts and finishes at the same place. It's the thing.
I feel like you don't want to psych yourself out.
Because we were going to a Comic-Con then.
We were.
Yeah.
We were.
So that's how it all goes.
We were going to Comic-Con. The two most naive people in the world were going to a Comic-Con. Like, we had no idea about anything that comics should... That we should declare that we had stuff for samples.
Yeah, we had our comics. Mine was called Fuck the Government, and yours was called Weed Maniac.
Mine was called Up Uncle Sam's Ass. And... it was, and we didn't know that they should be printed like with Made in Canada on them. We didn't know that we should declare that we had them. We didn't know that it was illegal for you to sell them in the States.
Yeah.
It was a lot of things that we didn't know.
And then finally we found out that it would have been $5. $5 declaration of these things.
Yeah.
There was about $5 that we got turned back for, and I had to go find all this evidence that I was
a human
wherever I lived. And
they thought you were a robot. We needed evidence that you were a human. We had to go in like a tribunal. I had to defend you as, you know.
Well, if it was a tribunal, I would have just lost. Because you do not win a tribunal.
You don't?
No, not in Canada. Not at least I've known enough of those tribunals. You don't win them.
That is not good.
We'll discuss that maybe.
You think about it.
Okay.
Put it in your pipe.
If you do, and we do drive, I'll buy you a Dick's Burger, but no soft drink.
fair enough.
Just give you a glass of gravy to go with
iced tea, because iced tea is unsweetened in the States.
That's right.
And believe me, it's even though I'm not a big tea fan, it's so much better than drinking just plain water. Because mm-hmm. nothing more tiring than water after you've been on a sugar fast for a while.
All right.
I enjoy milk, but you know, you can't drink juice. Juice is full of sugar. You can't drink pop. Pop is full of sugar.
Can you drink milk?
I can drink milk.
Milk's pretty full of
sugar. It is pretty full of sugar. It's pretty full of fat, too. It's not like it's the healthiest thing in the world. But you know what? It's pretty damned healthy.
Okay.
Like, what's healthier than milk? Water? I mean, water's okay, but it's not giving you anything. It's just hydrating
you. It is keeping you alive.
To a degree.
No. It keeps you alive. Water. If you don't have water, you die.
Yeah. But what if you had milk? Would you die because you didn't have water?
I don't know. How long could you just live on milk
without water? I don't know.
I think you need water.
You can pee milk.
Okay. If you find yourself peeing milk,
yeah.
See your doctor. It's
too much milk.
Yeah, that is too much milk. No, that's just no good.
Okay.
Number one, you're not peeing. Number two, see your doctor.
You're just seeping by that point. You've had too much milk.
Yeah.
It's leaking out of you. Yeah. So my point though is that you get tired of the limited number of beverages that you can drink. And then, you know, cereal. It's not that I'm like a huge sugar cereal fan. I'm not actually a big sugar cereal fan, but I do like Raisin Bran. And the raisins are sugared in Raisin Bran. I don't know why they sugar them. They already have sugar in them. They're like compressed grapes, which are kind of sweet anyway. You know what? I kind of feel like it's cheating to have a
Yeah, you got an interesting system going on.
I don't know.
You
like,
and Branwyn are interesting because I think she does the thing where, like, she'll have a sugar-free cola.
Yeah,
or sugar-free
that's cheating. Gum. To me.
That's what you think. You think that's cheating.
Yeah.
I know there's some stuff that you do that she goes, "Hey, well, that's a bunch of business." And you know, you just got your own rules. And then we all of a sudden we're into a real Catholic Protestant thing, right?
That's
there.
Right.
Just like, no, the holy book says thou shalt not. No, it's that's just right. The sacred text says you must not have sugar. You may have. You know, Splenda, but but then aren't you violating the spirit of the law the sugar-free Lord?
I know she sent me like a link about sugar in different fruits and stuff. She goes, "What do you think of this?" But I don't think she was being accusatory. I think she was kind of like, "What do you think of this?"
You're
like
a fruit guy, you can eat fruit, was like, "Oh, I don't know about fruit." So yeah, that was her thing on you was like, "Well, that's just a big sugar bomb."
But this is my thing. This is my feeling, right? Like when people ask me, they're like, "Well, what about such and such?" My response is this. Don't be silly. Then I feel like that is all I have to say. Like, if you're just being silly, you know, well, what about a bun? A bun has sugar in it. Fuck, I know bread and stuff like that has sugar in it, but it's not like it's not full of sugar like a chocolate bar is full of sugar.
Right.
You know, it's not like teeming with sugar. Like, there's a difference between eating gummy worms and having a loaf or a piece of bread. Like
eating an actual worm.
And eating an actual worm is fine if you're on a sugar fast. But it's not fine if you're.
I'm trying to think of the song.
If you're not a bird,
nobody likes us. Everyone hates us. Gonna eat worms.
Think I'll go eat worms
if they're sweet. No, I don't think they
are. No, they aren't. They're just fat.
Juicy.
They're fat and juicy. Yeah, some are skinny. But we stop. You know.
Oh my god, I was so nauseous whenever they sang that song. Like it just was. It just was.
Really?
Like oh my god, it's disgusting. You bite off their hands and suck out their juice. Of course, that's a disgusting, horrible thing.
It's never really.
You're a kid and you never really visualize.
Didn't impact me like that.
Just
see more of a lurk.
Not care for that at all.
More of a lurk. Yeah, I just feel like if it's just a lot of like silly things like, you know, well, what about grapes? Grapes have sugar in them. Yeah, I know grapes have sugar in them. But here's the thing. No one eats an orange or an apple or a grape and someone goes, "Oh, eating pretty unhealthy, eh? Oh, looks like you've decided Mr. Sweet Tooth over here with his apple." No one says that.
Okay, but if you're eating a banana, right? Like a banana is pure.
That's so low.
Freaking sugar.
It is?
Don't you? Banana?
What's I don't know what a banana.
Banana?
I don't like bananas. I don't think they're very sweet.
Oh, you don't need a banana. Well, then that's not your...
it's not my bag.
Take it out of there. But here's the real thing about both of your thing.
Yeah.
What's it fucking matter? Like, it's you're just making up your own damn rules.
But, well, here's... You know? It's not that.
You're
the
lords of your own sugar land. You're the Willy Wonka.
I don't care. I don't care if
sugar
she...
world.
Yeah, I don't care if Branwyn...
She's not cheating.
Drinks a diet soda and stuff like that. To me, I don't do it because I feel like it's kind of the spirit of it is that we're not going to have pop and we're not going to have gum or candy and stuff like that. So then when someone says, "Well, here's some sugar-free chocolate and here's some sugar-free gum and have some sugar-free pop," and I feel like, well, you know, that's just kind of an end around. Like you're getting into like niggling legalisms, which I like to avoid anyway.
Right.
But she was eating power bars. Power bars are just chocolate bars. With the name Power put in front of them instead of chocolate.
But do they have sugar in them?
Yeah, they're full of sugar, and they have chocolate. They're chocolate bars. That's all they are. They're chocolate bars. They're nothing else but chocolate bars. Okay, maybe they have more peanut butter in them to make them more protein, but they're chocolate bars.
Okay.
You can call them whatever you want.
So you're mocking her for that, and she's mocking you for eating grapes.
No, when I pointed that out to her, she's like, "You're right. She stopped eating the Power bars."
Okay.
But she wasn't very happy about it.
Yeah, you knock one of the legs away from her stool.
She still has Red Bull and stuff like that, which to me is...
Diet Red Bull, though. Sugar-free Red Bull.
Was it sugar-free Red Bull?
Yeah, sugar-free Red Bull. You can tell the label's different.
That's fine. Whatever. I understand that she's a person that lives on those things.
Needs some caffeine.
Needs a caffeine to keep her going
through
life.
Boom, get stuff going.
Well, people work too hard nowadays, so they just need to artificially energize themselves constantly.
Do you think they work harder than they worked in the past?
Yes.
That's a question.
I think people had more leisure time in the past.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
I think people gave themselves more leisure time in the past. I mean, obviously, in Victorian era, when people were working 7 days a week in a mm-hmm. giant steel mill and were ground into the ground. But I think when...
Working at mill.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's like a bad period in human history in terms of what...
And you go outside, Jack the Ripper stabs you to death.
Yeah, there's a Tyrannosaurus.
It's just like, come on, I'm just trying to...
There's a T-Rex walking around the alley.
And just have a nice time, and all of a sudden I got to get stabbed by this guy?
I've made a reference to the worst Sherlock Holmes film ever made.
Oh, which one was that?
The T-Rex walking around old London.
Okay.
Clearly a part of a museum. But anyway... I'm not even going to explain what that reference was. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, if you laugh appreciatively at it, that's great. If not, it's good too. But I forgot what I was talking about.
Well, that's good because this brings up something important to me.
Important to you?
Yeah.
People working more or less. Okay, but you go.
No, that's fair. I'm kind of curious because
I think there's less manual
labor than there was in the past, and so that maybe balances out. But it's interesting. I wonder if that is the case. Hey, folks, are people working harder now than they worked in the past? Maybe in the past, like 20 years?
I think 20 years ago?
Yeah. 50 years ago.
I think people feel guilty nowadays, more guilty for not working than they did in the past.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Or do people have more leisure time now than they did in the past? You let us know. My
guilty leisure.
My thing when you brought up T-Rexes and dinosaurs wandering around, there's a movie coming out. And it is, I forget the actual name of it, but it's like, I think like a Return to Skull Island or some such.
Okay, it's a new King Kong film.
Yeah, it's a new King Kong film. Mm-hmm. And you go, and it's all these guys, they go to Skull Island. And from what I'm getting from the trailer, it's basically like, you know, when you saw that last King Kong movie, and for a while they went to that horrible island with all the giant bugs and slugs and horrific things, and it was the worst fucking part of that movie.
Why was it the worst part of the movie?
Because it's just a gross out fucking island.
Okay.
Like you started off with, you know, these folks, and you're getting the kind of the era, and you're setting it all up, and at the end you're in New York, and it's real crisp and clean and beautiful, and he's on the ice, and it's like, oh, that's nice. He's climbing up the building, and it's nice.
Planes are shooting at him.
And then, yeah, that's right. But then in the middle, it's like, man, I'm going to eat alive and
gory. They had that in the original film as well.
They had him fighting a dinosaur, a T-Rex.
I know, they didn't do as much, but they you know, the spirit of Peter Jackson, Mr. Over the Top, OTT, right. is... If they could have, they would have.
Okay. But there's a couple of problems I have with Skull Island generally.
Okay.
But it was like my least favorite.
What kind of ecosystem is that?
I think like if you take that, totally, we can break it all down. But I think if you take Skull Island really out of, or at least three quarters of Skull Island out of that King Kong movie, you got a much better movie, to me. So now they decided to make a movie that's just Skull Island.
Yeah.
So fuck off with that, too. That's thing one. But... If you have this island that's got the giant cockroaches and the giant spiders mm-hmm. and the giant this and the giant that, who cares about King Kong? He's the least interesting thing on that island. Yes. Here's why. If you're the first King Kong movie, he's fighting a T-Rex.
Yeah.
Well, a T-Rex is much more exciting than a fucking gorilla because it's a T-Rex. It's a dinosaur. If you bring a dinosaur back to New York and go like, we've got a living dinosaur, he's on stage, you're still going to get more of a crowd than you're going to get for a slightly larger than normal ape.
Yeah.
You know, that's King Kong becomes the dullest thing on the island. And that's the thing everyone wants. He's your focus.
So did he kill it in the 1930s film?
I believe so, yeah. I believe he fought a T-Rex or some sort of dinosaur.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, there you go. Now let's take the ape. Yeah, also take the dinosaur. Take the dead dinosaur is even good. Take that as well. Yeah. With the next film, with all these giant things, well, bring the cockroach. Well, why aren't you bringing all this stuff?
Yeah.
Why just the gorilla? You know, that's your, this is the one thing that will, not one thing. Did you see those giant bats?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You could like tie a person to those and fly around the city. Wait, what are you doing? Go back. Get more. This is fantastic. And no one goes back to the island to get more stuff.
The story kind of ends on a downer, so probably took a little time off before they went.
But if you're a guy who's like, you got to think ahead, right? It's like, so I've got King Kong. I'm going to put him on stage. Well, that's fantastic this week.
Yeah.
You got to tour him around. But you've got an island full of amazing animals. You're not going to go back. And then King Kong dies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go back for your bats and your giant spiders and all this stuff.
Apparently, they're going to.
But no, King Kong's still there, so it's got to be a prequel.
Oh,
if Kong's alive.
Oh, so no one lives. Oh,
yeah,
that's
if Kong's alive, that means it's a prequel to, you know, later on. So it also means Kong sticks around.
Yeah.
Which means everyone's dead or, you know, two people like Kong and they bond with Kong and those guys live and Samuel L. Jackson dies in a horrible way. He must. Otherwise, he wouldn't do the movie because he doesn't want to be around a whole movie. He's tired. Samuel L. Jackson, you can put him in a movie now, but you got to go like, well, at least fake my death so I can be in a hospital bed for the latter half of the movie and I can just lie down.
So tired from all these films he makes.
That was the thing when I watched, not Civil War, but the one before, Winter Soldier. And you got Robert Redford and you got Samuel L. Jackson,
mm-hmm.
both guys around the same age. A lot of scenes with them sitting down or if they have to be standing, leaning against something and just not, you know, put me in a bed.
Yeah.
If you could have me in a robe sitting at my table drinking like a nice hot beverage, that'd be a great scene for mm-hmm. me. Oh, do you want to fight Captain America at any point? I'm good. Put on a suit of armor and maybe fight Captain America? No, I'm good. How about this instead? How about I just like sit at a desk and just talk at him? How about that? Is that better?
Sorry.
That's okay.
I still have a bit of a cough.
Yeah. As long as you don't cough a little bit of blood into a handkerchief, I'll know you're okay.
Yes.
According to movie rules.
It's just Camille. It took us a long time to get that joke in the Warner Brothers cartoons. Oh, that's what it is.
What was that? What was the in what Warner Brothers cartoon is that?
Excuse me.
Now I feel terrible I didn't get you a glass of water.
Yeah, you're a jerk. They would make references where they would have a little coughing into a handkerchief.
Yeah.
Like in a bed or whatever.
Yeah. But they wouldn't show any blood.
But they showed the book, Camille, as well, in some of their book, like their kind of book cartoons where they have like the books interacting in different hilarious ways. And then the book would expire or whatever because Camille has tuberculosis.
I wonder if they ever did that with like Animaniacs or later cartoons with like VHS tapes. Or did any of that business.
That would have been good.
Those were always kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Grocery store.
Sure.
Bookstore. Yeah, movies. Yeah.
Why not?
Always do that weird joke about the thin man where they made like the lead guy the thin man, though he's not the thin man.
Not the thin man at all.
Yeah, you didn't even watch the movie, you jerks.
Nope, you missed it. And in fact, I think they used Jimmy Stewart in some of them too, and he was in the second one.
Yeah.
Return of the Thin Man. Yes.
I got to see more Thin Man. I only saw the first one. And I know that it's the best.
Yeah.
But I still like him, and I want to see as much as...
It's kind of like... You enjoyed that first donut in the box, and you go back for the second donut, and you're like, that was pretty good. That
but
was
then
not
you're the opposite of a thin man.
Then you're like, oh, there's another donut here. I'll have that donut. Oh, that was not so good. Not so good. Maybe I should have had three donuts. I'm not feeling very well. And you're like, oh, you know, there's another donut in the. I'll have one more donut.
Okay.
One more donut.
I'm a little worried that you're eating these imaginary donuts on your sugar fast.
Yeah.
You shouldn't put this. This is not a good thought. Think of steaks. Your first steak, you feel like that's great.
That's
second
great.
Steak on the barbecue, I'll have another one. And then
could you eat that many steaks? I could not eat them. I'm not a big steak guy. Like, I like a steak.
Yeah, the high steaks guy.
But I'm not. I'm more of a low steaks guy. I think my life proves that. But I like
10-ounce steak. Will you have a 10-ounce steak?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
How big is that?
It's about. I'm doing a little.
Seems too big.
Oh, yeah, just like a little steak.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember the first time I went. Lisa invited me to her mom and dad's.
You're a big burger guy.
I do like burgers, yeah.
Ridiculously large burgers at times.
Sometimes, but that's more of just
There's
for fun.
There's picture evidence of this.
Yeah, this is for fun. When I was much younger, Lisa invited me to her parents for dinner. The thing was is that I did not drive. I took the bus at that time. I did not have any driving skills.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have a car. And they lived way out in the middle of nowhere in Langley. So I took the bus. I took a series of buses, or what I would like to call the Toonerville trolley, which wound its way through every part of the Lower Mainland, stopping every 2 feet to let people on and off. I finally got to Langley.
Right.
And I thought I'd left plenty of time.
On the same transfer? Or did you have to buy a second one? Okay, right.
I got into Langley. I thought I'd given myself plenty of time. I gave myself like 2 hours or something like that. I got there like an hour late.
Ooh,
I got into Langley.
Snap.
And then Lisa had to come down and pick me up in Langley because that was only part of the trip. There's still another half an hour drive from Langley to her parents' place. So I got in the car, drove way out there. And of course, I'd never been in the country before. So I wasn't used to this. I wasn't used to the idea that I'm going to go to the store and get some bread. I'll be back in an hour. And that's crazy, right? Like, we lived in the suburbs. So, you know, I'm going to go to the store and get some. I'm going to ride my bike to the store. I'll be back in half an hour. That's right. Reasonable.
Or I might run.
Yeah. And so we get out to get to her parents' place. Her dad's already eaten. He's not waiting for some jerk who's an hour and a half late to come and eat.
That is a real kind of older person's thing. It's just like, we're eating at this time.
Yeah.
Oh, can we wait an hour? No.
No.
How could you? You'd die. You would die from not eating for an hour.
Yeah.
You can't be that polite.
So then her mom, who I loved her mom. She was one of my favorite people. At this point in my relationship with her daughter, I was not one of her favorite people. I was that someone she didn't even know.
Because you're a late Nick.
I'm a late guy. I'm this late guy. I show up and she cooked me a steak. That, seriously, it was the size of a plate. Like a full dinner plate steak with nothing else. There was no fixings. No potatoes, which seemed odd because she was Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
So there should always be potatoes. In fact, she would, later on, we'd have like lasagna for dinner and she would still serve mashed potatoes with it. So it just seemed so odd that I didn't
Did
get any fixings.
Did you not deserve the mashed potatoes? Was this a shame dish?
I think I had...
Yeah, I don't think you'd get the mashed potatoes because you'd have to heat them up.
I was so late.
And they wouldn't be right because you'd have to heat them up. And she's not giving you those shitty mashed potatoes.
And then she did something that, once again, annoying her as I did, it was so weird. But she threw some shade. she threw some shade. She talked to Lisa about fences, like building and fixing fences.
Yeah.
Seriously. The whole dinner. Like a conversation I in no way knew anything about or could join. I couldn't go like, speaking of fences.
Right.
Oh, nothing.
So saying that she threw a little offense by talking about defense.
The defense. That's right. Oh, nice. Wish I thought of that at the time. I could have thrown that in there. Talking about defense. Oh, nothing. I just ate this ginormous steak.
Shame steak.
And I don't even.
Getting logier and
like
logier.
Yeah. I'm not a huge.
Filling your colon.
I'm not a big meat eater. So, I mean, I like meat, but I just, you know, I like it in, you know, small.
Cutting your meat into the shape of vegetables.
Yeah.
Pretending like, it's a carrot.
It's like the thing where you like start cutting it up and like moving it around your plate. Maybe if I move it out to the outskirts of my plate. I couldn't, though. It was seriously the size of the plate.
Right.
The whole steak. So then I did, you know, get through some of it. And then she drove me back to the bus, and I took the bus ride of shame back home. Luckily, later on, they started express buses from Surrey to Langley. So I was able to zoom out there much quicker. But it was terrible. It was terrible. In fact, I don't think I went back for a long time. And the other weird thing was, after that experience, her mom thought I was black. And she would refer to me.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. Wait.
I know.
Okay. I don't want an explanation yet.
Okay.
I don't want an explanation yet.
Sure.
Okay. Those of you that are listening to the podcast for the very first time.
Yes.
Go to our webpage. Dave's got some pictures of himself on there.
I don't know if I do.
Yep, there is. Some shirtless, some not.
I don't think there's shirtless pictures.
There's shirtless pictures of Dave on our website. Okay. There's pictures of us when we were on other podcasts posing on porches and whatnot.
Yeah.
You can see Dave.
Okay.
Now, so they yes. so, okay. So she thought you were black.
Yes. That's it. In her memory of me, I was black.
Okay, let me just, okay, a couple of things.
Shows the imperfection.
Okay, wait a second. Okay. So I'm trying to think of a couple of things. I'm trying to think like one.
Yeah.
How dark was it in that room?
It was kind of dim. You're right.
Okay.
To me, it seemed like she kept it kind of gloomy as if she didn't want to see me.
Okay.
She was so mad at me for being so late.
Right. Did you at any point say the phrase dynamite?
Maybe I was talking about blowing up fences?
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I might have tried to like...
Do you think that maybe somehow the side dishes that she had, she realized might come across as racist, and so she couldn't serve them to you?
Oh, she had soul food, she had chitlins.
She had some collard greens.
Collard greens and chitlins.
Yeah,
and,
something like that. And then she realized, oh no, he'll think the worst.
She had to
I should just give him meat.
Yeah.
Just meat.
Mm-hmm.
North American white male meat.
Yeah.
And treat him like that. So she gave you a whole dinner plate full of meat.
I don't know, because I don't think she thought I was black before I came out.
Okay, and here's the other question I have for you.
Yeah.
So that big steak that you had.
Yeah.
To me, when I hear this story, retroactively,
clearly
that was horse. That was horse that
was not
died,
horse
and they had to get rid of some of the horse.
That would not have happened.
Because that's just a horse,
no.
back of a horse that they were getting you to eat.
No.
And they were all like watching you in disgust eating a horse, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't know why you would think that.
Because it was so big.
It was big.
Was it horse big, would you say?
It was just...
It was a horse.
It was not a horse.
Yep.
Cows are big, too.
Something happened to a horse.
Cows are big, too.
And they had to get rid of it.
No, that would never have happened.
So she thought she...
Not in that family of horse lovers.
She thought you were black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. And I'm not. Just want to point that out. Clearly.
Okay, wait. All right. So
in no way.
Here's... All right. Again,
I'm the exact opposite, in fact.
I need to unpack this.
Sure.
Okay. So at what point did you find out that you were black? From her.
I never heard it from...
She wouldn't mention it because she's polite.
Never heard it from mum.
All right.
No,
it's been Lisa
brought up.
So, Lisa, how many
years
months?
Later.
Years later. Yeah. Okay, tell me...
She didn't want to hurt my feelings.
Okay, of course.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there you go. So, I don't think that hurts your feelings. But okay, I think it's just
I wouldn't
more,
say hurt, but more like that her mum didn't... Yeah, it was more just confusing. Like, well, what did I... Did I say something that made her? Yeah. Or just that she remembered
me
that way? To
be fair, she thought Lisa was Asian for many years.
That's right.
Yes. As well.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lisa, how does she bring this up in casual conversation?
I don't know.
A big bomb to drop.
You're asking me some...
This is a great question that I'm asking.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, by the way, my mom thought you were black.
Yeah, and I'm sure I went like, why? And she was probably like, oh, I don't know. It's probably her answer.
Nope, that's not the answer.
I should have stopped there.
I'm gonna whip back now even farther.
Yeah,
than
okay.
Her.
So she's
there with her mom, and they're washing dishes afterwards.
Yeah.
Washing your huge plate.
Yeah.
Washing all the horse juice off your
plate.
And they're washing and like, you know, it's okay that you're dating a black man, is what mom says then to her. And Lisa. Yes.
Yeah.
Does Lisa go? What? Or does Lisa go, I'm just going to let this slide and let's see where it goes because it's interesting?
Maybe.
Or does Lisa correct her at that time?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is a good question for Lisa.
I know that Lisa...
Please go home tonight and ask.
I know that Lisa had broken up with a boy that her mom liked quite a bit.
Okay.
And I was replacing... It was more like immediate, but
I don't even know if it was a boy at this point.
I was walking in the... That's true. I was walking into this situation where, you know, her mom's favorite... best boyfriend that Lisa had ever had. Mm-hmm. She'd broken up with this boy.
Right.
And now here comes this other guy.
Yeah.
You know, walking
into
the...
Silver metal walking
into
the
comes,
room.
Here comes this guy. Yeah, that's right. Number two, not as good as number one. But, you know, let me just say that I think I've proved the longer lasting of the two. And the better looking. So there you go.
What happened to the other guy?
No idea. And I don't care.
She knows.
He's a farmer.
He's a farmer. She's looking on Facebook.
He has a farm in Langley.
He's on Farm Book.
He has a farm in Langley.
And every morning he posts, hey.
That's right. That's Farm Book.
Up early enough for you? A lot of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd be glad to see you.
Yep.
These jokes are corny.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff like that. Yeah. Do you got any more? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
No, I've got a bunch of racial jokes, but they wouldn't be appropriate in front of you.
When someone makes a bad pun, you go, sigh, low.
You know what? You could just go sigh.
Low.
The.
Sigh.
Yeah, sigh low is okay, too.
It wasn't as good as sigh. That's better.
That's fair enough. Okay, so there's so much that I want to know about that story.
Why? How, like, what more?
I just want
we'll
to know, to, like, what... Well, when,
we'll get Lisa on the show. We'll bring Lisa on the show, and we'll give her the third
like,
degree in this.
What did she say?
Yeah.
How did that come
up?
Did she mention... Did your mother-in-law mention it to your father-in-law?
Yeah.
And did he go, yep? Did he agree?
Sure.
Did he think it first?
I don't know. He never saw me.
And spread it over
there? He never saw me.
What do you mean he didn't see you?
He didn't even show up.
He was in the house?
No. He was outside, and he did not come in the whole time I was there.
Oh, God.
He was mad at me for coming being so late. Yeah. No, I was... it took me a long time to get into his good graces.
You know,
basically, the only way I got into his...
Let me just say this.
Okay,
what you should have done was you should have just gone and like, sir, I'm sorry I'm late,
mm-hmm.
but you're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Now,
excuse me. I've got to go eat a plate steak with no sides.
would not be me. It took me... Basically, the only way he ever thought well of me was I almost died. Like, after I had cancer, he warmed up to me. Mm-hmm. Before that time, it was like cold shoulder a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. And I would go to her place, and I would not see her parents. I would show up when they weren't home,
mm-hmm.
hang for a bit, go for a ride, come back. She'd drive me into Langley. I'd go back home. Mm-hmm. I just would never see her parents for like 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like a ghost. Yeah, it took me a long time to get over all that stuff. And them too, I guess. So yeah, it's fair all around. You know, you've brought up an interesting problem with me, though, which is that I am remarkably... It's not that I'm not curious. I am curious.
Yeah.
But I am either too shy or too well-mannered to ask a lot of questions of people. I feel like if people are telling you a story, they will fill in the things they want to tell you and not fill in the things they don't want to tell you. And so it would be churlish of me to ask them questions. that they have not answered in the story. So I don't. I very rarely ask a lot of questions.
But
to people.
If it was like something like someone said, you know that Dave?
Yeah.
He just wears too many hats. Yeah. And you know yourself, you have never worn a hat.
Yeah, I don't like hats.
I would like to follow up on that. Mm-hmm. I had almost the opposite thing with a girl that I used to date, and it was a bad situation. But like, she liked me so much.
Do you want me to ask you why it was a bad situation?
There's lots of reasons.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. Like. And so, but if I told that story to someone, their question would be, well, why was it bad? And I would go, I don't know.
Why was it bad?
Well, that's what the person would say.
Because they were very rude to you. Because dad stayed outside.
No, not that. Not that. In your story, like if I was relaying now, you're telling me about your girlfriend. And you said it was a very bad situation.
Yeah.
And I just let that slide. I didn't pursue that.
Oh, because I'm going to fill in why it was
because,
bad. Because I'm starting a story.
Oh, okay.
To then reveal the bad.
I'm sorry. See, that's the thing. There you go.
It's coming out.
I assume that you're going to tell me.
I wouldn't say it all in that first sentence, or that's a very bad story.
But that's my point. I assume that people are going to tell me what they want to tell me in the story.
But it's bad and because it's good. More. I had the opposite, which was they thought I was such a catch. Her and her mom thought I was such a catch.
Okay.
That, well, first of all, she started doing some stuff to try and like, you know. Maybe she would get pregnant and that would be the situation. So that was not so good. But the other thing was, because I was acting at the time, right? I was in a commercial and some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And she went, can I have one of your headshots? And I was like, oh, all right, you have one of my headshots? Sure. So I gave her one of my headshots, you know, because she wanted a headshot. I had like a picture of her and she has a picture of me. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So I show up at the house, and when you walk in the house, there's like a mantle.
Yeah,
my picture's on the mantle.
Okay,
now, like hanging on the mantle, and it's there, and I'm framed, and there's a couple of candles on either side, and this is for everybody to see. Yeah, so I, for all intents and purposes, look like the son that died in the war.
Yeah,
and walking like, well, what's this about? And it's just like, oh, we just like really like that picture of you, so we thought we'd put it up there. Like, well, this is, take it down. This is horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Now, be honest. Up to this point, you liked her.
No.
Oh, you didn't like her at this point.
There was, it was getting weird.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a lot of red flags coming up.
Okay.
But that was really a, oh, shit, no, this is no good. Like, even if, I don't care who I am. I don't care if you're dating a celebrity. Like, don't put the picture up there. Mm-hmm. Who puts a picture of their boyfriend on the fucking mantle? Like, what's that about? That's not, no so one does that.
You shouldn't put up a picture of your boyfriend or girlfriend in your house or whatever if you're going out with them.
Not like that.
Okay.
Not like,
people walk
in and see it.
It was L. Ron Hubbard over our
right. Mantle. Could you imagine if your daughter was dating somebody and you went, that guy's quite the catch. Hey, could I get an 8x10 picture of you? And then you put it on your mantle.
It was the mom who asked for the picture?
No, it was the mom who put it up.
Though. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Mom was down with it being up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's weird.
I can remember.
By the way, she was cheating on me at the time. So.
Okay. That's weird.
Yeah.
That is all very strange. I can remember. I didn't go with a lot of girls because I was stupid. But I can remember, like, in my relationship.
Did you go out with more after you changed your race?
No, I was a steady date after that.
Okay.
Once I met Lisa, it's been no one else since then. I'm a one woman man. That's how it should be.
So just men then on the side.
Yeah, but nothing gay. That was sort of an in joke that I probably it's too complicated to go into. But anyway, I'm gonna go into it anyway. The guy at work yesterday.
I was just gonna go like he goes, if you look at my Facebook status, I clearly say it's complicated.
He gets a text from someone, a mysterious person he doesn't know.
Yeah,
it's like, hey man. I think you and I should talk on. We should send some messages together on Snapchat. I've got lots of pictures. And he's like, "Do you like young chicks, or do you like them your age?" And then he says, "Then he goes, we should get together and have coffee." And then he goes, "And I'll bring some friends." And then it says in brackets, "Female, nothing gay." And this is such a weird message.
Yeah,
it's so weird. Like it's just like.
Hey, are you, by the way, are you a fan of the show To Catch a Predator?
Yeah.
No? Okay, ignore I said anything. Just show up. You like the underage things, right? Okay, just show up at this house.
Yeah, it's
bring
weird.
Some candy, maybe some massage oil, and, you know, we'll see you later.
Do you think that's what it is?
And we'll, sting you later. Did you say sting? No, I said see you later.
I'm gonna have to bring that up tomorrow at work because that didn't occur to me because I am an innocent baby. But that is interesting that's a possibility. Anyway, so I can remember. What were you asking me? Oh no, that's silliness. I can remember like being with a girlfriend, and I can remember the exact moment that I fell out of like with her. I won't say I was madly in love with her, but mm-hmm. I liked her well enough. And we were just sitting in the bus coming back from a movie, and I turned my head and looked at her, and she was sitting in a sort of vacant moment with her mouth open. And it just killed me. And I was just like, I can't go with this person anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the slow death of our relationship started. I probably went out there another year or two. No, I'm joking. But pretty soon after, but yeah, I could not. But we all know I did not break it off.
Peanuts or anything? Maybe she just wanted one?
Can you throw one into my mouth?
Yeah.
That would be kind of mean.
Especially if she had a peanut allergy.
I don't know. It's just that little moment. It spoiled it for me, and I don't know why. It's not her fault. She was just sitting in kind of in a resting position. And
you know what? Here was actually the moment that I kind of went, ugh, with the person I'm talking about.
Okay.
We were going to go see a movie.
Okay.
We went around a corner. The bus was coming.
Yeah.
We could make it if we ran.
Yeah.
She went, I'm not running. So we missed the movie because she decided not to run for the bus.
Yeah.
And I just went, well, if you're not going to make a fucking effort, screw this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're not going to care. You know, it's like, and so, yeah, that was probably it. It was like, oh, you're not going to make an effort.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's these funny little things that make us sort of turn us off or whatever, you know, like one time you're on and you're like, I'm totally into this person.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun to neck with her. And then you turn and look for one day on the bus and she's like sitting in kind of a vacant moment. And it's unfortunate. I mean, if I never turned my head,
mm-hmm.
you know, I could just...
And then often it's the thing like whatever you were first attracted to becomes the thing that you're unattracted to later on.
Mm.
Just like, hey, that person's... I like how quiet they are. Mm. Really introspective.
Yeah.
Say something later. yeah. That person's just like a crazy wild spirit. Like, this is enough of this. I don't like it anymore. I'm done.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. When I first met Lisa, we met in college and we didn't know each other super well. We sat at the same table and just had table conversations.
And she said, like, I think, didn't she say afterwards, she was on this show, I believe, she said she was looking for the handsomest guy in class.
Yes.
And you were it.
There you go.
Luckily, genetically, you fill the bill.
Yes. And she was beautiful too. So I was super attracted to her. But I am too stupid to know what to do in those sort of situations. So we met each other in that class, but it wasn't for another year before we started to go out. And then we took another class together, an anthropology class. And we both had a break between classes after, and we would go to the library and just sit in this other room and just talk. And I talked so much. I was sick of hearing myself talk because she would not talk. I would just be like, blah, blah, telling things I read, news that I heard, old stories about songs that I liked, whatever. Just blah, just constant stream of yak. And she was so quiet, and I was just like, well, I guess she's just a quiet person. Doesn't have a lot to say. And I was okay with it, you know, because she was really good looking. And then one day, after a final, she said to me, do you want to ride home? And I was like, oh, sure. So then we're driving. And she's like, well, do you want to go for like a drive around? And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds fun. So we're driving. And then she started talking. And she would not shut up. And I learned that it's weird. Like, she's a person who, if she's in a comfortable situation, mm-hmm. i.e. in a situation where you can't open the door and walk out of the car, she will talk endlessly. Like, just tell you all these stories, great stories, and just talk and tell you jokes and make you laugh and blah, 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 blah. But then you get her in another situation, she's quiet as anything. This is weird. But it's nice because it's a mix, so I don't have to get tired of one or the other, right? Don't get tired of the quiet person or the talkative person.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. She's pretty great is what I'm saying.
Yay. I say stick with her.
It's worked so far.
Yeah.
I hitched my wagon to that star.
Agreed. Nice. Agreed. Now, I went through...
I think you experienced that with her, right?
Silence?
Silence from her. Like, you'd meet her and you'd be like, well, she's not saying a word to me. Does she hate me or is this really weird?
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. And then we went on a car trip to Seattle. And when we came back, you're like, geez, really funny.
Yeah.
So you got the car treatment.
Yeah. And she went like, you're a good guy for a black guy. And I'm like, what? Your family just not. First of all, that's a horrible thing to say, period. And also, that's what? Right.
Yeah. Well, it's a different time period.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe that time when she was quiet, she was just being racist towards you.
That's right.
Until she got in the car and the lighting was right. And she went, oh, I see what's what.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Sure.
Heads up.
That's nice. Yeah.
No, I went through, I've got two long relationships. One was 7 years and one now has been 16 years and ongoing and good on it.
Yes.
And then then on the other sides of that 7 year one, chaos, madness, just fucking madness. And same thing after the 7 year one, it was just freaking madness. But that was where I went like, well, I'm good for love. That's fine. That's not for me. Don't
really?
Care for it.
Yeah. No, you don't want no more.
No, because
so what were you looking for then? Just sex?
Yeah, there's
just
a lot.
An empty life with just sex.
Yeah, and friendship.
Sounds nice.
And friendship, and friendship. And just work and doing other things.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was basically going. Okay, I've had love.
Yeah,
and it's like okay, that's good. But then it ended like with like feeling like I was hurt. I hurt her. By my feelings changing,
yeah,
and you know, but it's fine, and we are friends now, and all that. But you know, people that I started to date did seem to like want to go further into love, and it was like I just don't have that. Mm-hmm. I don't have that in, and it's you know, it's all the cliches. It's not
that's
you,
a,
it's
but
me.
But that's a phase. That's not, not an uncommon phase to go through after you've gone through a relationship.
Yeah. And it's basically the song Different Drum, you know, just kept going through my head all the time.
Because you were really, you're madly in love with Linda Ronstadt.
Beat of a Different Drum, you know.
Hey, do you know who wrote that song?
Michael Nesmith.
Yes,
and he actually did a better version of it, I think, than the other version.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard the Michael Nesmith version?
Don't know. I don't know if I have, actually.
Oh, I really like that version. Okay.
Well, I'd like his voice. So I'm sure I'd like it, too.
Yeah, I'll play it for you after this. I've got it on my, I got it on my phone, and I listen to it quite a bit.
Okay.
But yeah. It's just it's a song about, you know, it's nothing wrong with you. It's just this is just not what I want right now.
Yeah.
And so there'd be times though that I'd be going out with somebody and they'd say, oh no, this I understand. It's just gonna be casual. Mm-hmm. But then it starts to not be casual. And then it's like ugh. Then it gets ugh. And then you just go, I'm just gonna see a bunch of people and do. And basically, it was a lot of stuff during that time afterwards. But then when I met Pia, it was just this clear, oh no, I instantly,
mm-hmm.
just like full yeah. warmth, love, connection, yeah. all that. It was like, yep, there you go.
Yeah,
it was just like, it would be a lie to believe anything else. Mm-hmm. So there it is.
Yeah, you're going to meet that person. I mean, there's lots of people who are nice. They're nice to have a dinner with. They're nice to have sex with, you know, but they're not a person that you feel connected to.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a nice person.
And yeah, so we can get more into that period of time some other time, but that's a long, long story and
okay.
a long, long journey. But yeah, then it just was like, so yeah. But I did not know at the time
mm-hmm.
that she was Latina. So there you go. Maybe, you know, I'm throwing shade at that family and I didn't know. And then found out, oh yeah. It was like, oh yeah, my name. Oh yeah, of course your name. Makes sense. Fair enough.
Fair enough. All right.
So you brought out the box of fun.
Brought the box of fun. Okay, we can do one or two things. We've got a we've got a contest entry.
Sure.
That we can do.
Oh, well, why don't we do that?
Should we do that now? Let's
do
now.
That first.
So everyone knows Louise because Louise was on my birthday show. She gave me some great tips.
Yeah.
And some nice
a year
cookies.
And a little bit ago today.
Mm-hmm. Some cookies, which I think I was in the middle of my fast at that time, but I ate
it was
them
broken
after.
For your birthday though. You broke your fast
right.
for your birthday.
That's right. That's right. I did. But anyway, so Louise has sent us. A story for the one that got away. Now, I know I said I was going to make a playlist. I'm not going to play it underneath the story, like, because that is like, it's be distracting. Like, we just want to hear their story. We don't want to hear a bunch of noise in
okay.
their story. And so, also, I didn't have time to actually put the playlist together, so I'm not going to tell you now. It'll be on the website when I post the show. So check on the website for the playlist. It will be there, and I'll post the story there as well. And the story will be in the show, obviously, but you can listen to it separately if you choose. And I'm just going to play it now so Ian can hear it as okay. well. And let's start this gosh darn story.
The one that got away. It was the late 80s in Vancouver when I met this up-and-coming comedian from Los Angeles walking down Robson Street. I'd caught his act earlier in the week. He had a laid-back delivery and a dark sense of humor, and he was oddly attractive for a stand-up comic. If you were into the dark, brooding, rebel vampire look. Now, usually I'm pretty awkward around, well, people. But I stopped him and I told him I'd enjoyed his set. He was with his mom, who'd come up from Washington State to see him perform. I thought that was sweet. Even cool LA comics want their mothers to see them on stage. So maybe it was nice for him that a random Canadian girl complimented him on the street. I walked with them for a block or so, and we chatted. Before we parted ways, he asked me out for coffee. Now, it's entirely possible that by coffee, he meant he really just wanted to get some coffee. I mean, his mom was right there. But I'd been around comedians enough to know that comics who are on the road often get lots of coffee. I may even have accepted his offer of coffee, but I was dating a guy who was a local stand-up and improviser. So while I found his invitation flattering, I just babbled, "I'm sorry, I can't, and walked away. I never saw him again. He didn't make it big as a stand-up, but he became well-known in New York and L.A. comedy circles as a writer and producer. In the 90s, I'd see his name in the credits of really popular TV shows, and I'd think, wow, I could have had coffee with that guy. Then, a few years into the new millennium, I heard that he took his own life. Now that makes him the one that really got away, from his family and friends and from himself. I wonder what would have happened if I'd gone for coffee with him. Even if it was really just coffee, would it have butterfly affected his life or mine for the better or for worse? Oh, that stand-up and improviser I was going out with in the late 80s? I'm still going out with him. But he was never into coffee. He's more of a hot chocolate kind of guy.
That was a good story.
That was a good story. And also a milkshake kind of a guy.
Okay, well, you know, that's a little personal.
Is it too personal?
Yeah, it brings all the boys to the yard.
Oh.
So you're going to, on our website,
yes,
put in some, maybe like what the soundtrack to that story would
and it's
be.
Gonna, I'm just going to write out the playlist for that song.
Right.
Because I just thought it was fun to do it with my story, you know, and it wasn't part of the story. I didn't add it to the show. I just put a little playlist together.
That was so good.
It was good. It was a great story.
Isn't it? It's sometimes like you know someone for a very long period of time, mm-hmm. and then they do something, you go like, "Wow, that was really good."
Yeah,
and it feels
yeah.
weird because you're like, you shouldn't be impressed by that, but that was like really, really well done.
Yeah, Louis should be one of those people that read letters to CBC, the CBC.
Yeah,
just had that nice.
No, this all of a sudden just became a This American Life level situation, and it just made me realize, man, our show could be really good if we could, just shut up and let other people say things. So if you want to tell us your story of the one that got away,
hashtag again, promotion.
Does not, that's right. Does not have to be a romantic thing, but mm-hmm. could be anything at all. We would love to hear from you as well. But thank you so much, Louise. And check the website for the soundtrack to that. And possibly Dave might actually make a little tape up with the soundtrack to that. I've suggested that last week. And Dave went, what? And I went, yeah, it's the kind of thing he'll do.
You never know.
You never, never know.
You never, ever
also,
know.
Louise, the White Spot open offer is open to you anytime. So to the box of mystery and fun.
Yes.
We've got a little bit of time left
from,
here.
From this is Kanan's?
Yeah.
He gave it to you when you were in Edmonton.
Now, what this is, this was a box where if you've ever played Pictionary, they've got different categories and you would draw things.
Yeah.
And so he has made a couple of categories in Pictionary. We're not going to Pictionary it.
Yeah.
But there's comics and there's, what's the other category in it? Just pop culture generally?
Yeah.
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 And so there you go. But here's what I'm going to say. Let's actually try doing this as a game. Okay. Here's what I'm going to suggest.
Okay.
I'll turn this around. I'm going to pick one of these out randomly.
Okay.
You tell me between 1 and 5, and I'm going to do it like Taboo style, where I can't say the name of the thing.
Okay.
But I will try to give you clues as to what this thing
is.
Oh,
wow.
And then you will try to guess what the thing is, and then we can discuss
the
thing.
I like
so,
that.
Between.
So it's going to be comics? Is that where we're...
I got comics, yeah.
Okay. And so I'll say 3.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with Bruce Wayne.
Batman?
Halloween party.
No idea.
Something a spy uses. So
disguise?
Yes.
Oh,
disguise.
Okay.
The disguise. Idea of disguise. like when you disguise yourself as someone of another race in order to woo a lady.
Woo a lady.
In a situation.
You seem to be adding to that story in ways that make me look really terrible.
Okay. Disguise. Have you ever been in disguise or some kind of disguise or dressed yourself up in a way that surprised you with how you look? I'll say mine real quick.
Okay.
I was in college.
Yeah.
Some girls in college were having a sexy toy party.
Sexy toy party?
Sexy toy sales party.
Oh, so you dressed as a sexy toy.
Yes. No, that's not what happened. Okay. Oh. So what happened was we decided, you know what we'll do? We'll dress as ladies. And then we'll, but because we were in theater, we went for it, and we got the help of other people in the makeup department to really like, we're gonna really go for this.
Yeah,
and we got our outfits together.
Yeah,
did ourselves up. Let me just say, looked pretty good.
Nice.
But the weird bit was
that you looked black.
There was a girl who was, we were sort of semi interested in each other. You know, there's a little flirting, a little light,
Yeah.
When I was dressed as a lady.
To the nines. Yes.
I looked almost exactly like her. Like, almost exactly. Wow. Like, to the point where people just stopped and went, holy shit, you look just like, and I went, I do look just like, and went, and so I couldn't, like, change out of this. This was the look I'm going. We show up, laughs are gotten, ha ha ha, and then we're going to leave. And then, but then we made the connection of like, yeah, yeah, this can't happen. I know it can't. And I'm adopted too, so there's a little bit of like, yeah, hopefully you're not my sister. Okay, all right, well, I guess we're done. Yeah. And so, yeah, so I ended up semi-breaking up with somebody because I looked too much like them. Interesting. It turned out.
Interesting. All right. I've never been in disguise, but I used to love to dress up in costumes at Halloween.
What's your best costume for Halloween?
My best costume was probably dressed as a sort of Monty Python British-style gangster. I had my dad's suit, and I padded the shoulders out, so it was really wide, and I put on the voice and everything like that, and I went around, and I just threatened to get candies from people. Spent the night just giving them veiled threats.
Yeah. That be things, ashamed if something was to happen.
So be ashamed if something happened to you, yeah, and stuff like that. And it was good. I got a lot of appreciative comments.
All right. Is this comics or pop culture?
You can do what you want.
Oh, let's go comics.
Okay.
And I'm going to go two.
Two. Okay. So these were popular in the 90s.
Pogs!
No, not Pogs. These are popular. We really enjoyed making our own, but they're also very popular.
Mini comics.
As a sort of underground thing that sort of new artists were doing at that time.
24-hour comics.
You would have ones like Love and Rockets and Hate and 8-Ball.
Fantagraphics comics.
And or other companies' comics that I can't...
Ashcan comics.
No, not Ashcan, because the Ashcans are comics that are the preview comics. That's different.
Okay.
These are comics that were a spirit of the time that
independent
people,
comics.
But make it shorter, and then
Indie
comics, that's right. All right. Yes, very good. Which is not something that you see as much nowadays, I don't think, as we did at that time, which was very popular. I mean, I know webcomics would kind of
I
fall
think
into
that's
that.
That's what it is now. Comics have become webcomics.
But in a way, that's great that it's made it so much more accessible, because to do indie comics in those days, you really had to like be on the ball like to for anyone. I mean, let alone, you think of someone like a Jeff Smith, who just kind of went, you know what, I'm going to make a comic.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a 55-issue run of comics, and I'm going to print them myself, publish them myself, and distribute them myself, as well as writing and drawing them. That's a really gargantuan task you've thrown in your own way. It's hard enough to write and draw a comic, but then to add the business element to it. And I know that his wife came and helped him later on, but at the beginning, it was him by himself.
Yeah, there was a lot of begging for money from indie comic folks. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes in the ways like Hepcats and whatever, it was a lot of make-em-ups, and they didn't
pan out.
Didn't deliver. I got to say, when you mentioned Love and Rockets, that's impressive that they're still around.
For sure.
You know? And have consistently been good.
I don't really like the change that they've done.
Oh, what's the change?
Well, they've gone back to the floppy format for the comics. Rather
What were they? They were book?
Well, they gone, yeah. When they came back, they published for a while as a true comic book sized floppy. And then they switched to doing like a twice yearly book collection. Mm-hmm. And I really, really like that, because it gives you like a big meaty, you know, bunch of, and kind of, complete stories or completish stories, so you get a good sense of the arc of the story, and then some crazy possibly signs of mental problems, Ibido stories, and then you know just all that kind of jazz. But you know it's really great. And now they kind of scaled it back down to a more maybe they're trying to make it less work. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how often it's publishing. I mean the knock on independent comics of that time period was they never published regularly, because all those people were, you know, auteurs, single artist run things, and so you know there's.
I wouldn't know if you'd call first comics indie comics, would you?
Yes.
That comedy company.
Yep.
Because it was a fairly popular comic company at the time. Did things like American Flag and E-Man and what have you. Yeah, I just want to throw a plug out then for that. If you're looking for like something that you can buy cheap in the discount bins, that's kind of a fun, interesting book, I would go Nexus.
Oh, Nexus is great.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful Steve Rude art. I think it's was it Mark Baron?
Yes, was the writer. Yeah,
was the writer.
Yeah.
And it's very sci-fi, but kind of it's not it
space
looks
opera.
Like, he looks like a superhero. Kind of, he's not a superhero. Yeah.
It's more of a space opera than superhero.
A lot
comic.
Of ethical things. Killing's wrong. Is it things? But yeah, pick yourself up some Nexus. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Steve Rood, underrated artist, should be working more.
Yeah, I mean
he's now doing some stuff with DC with their. Line of Hanna-Barbera stuff. Did a Birdman story that was quite good recently.
His thing is the kind of Space Ghost Alex Toth inspired art. he it was funny because first comics put out a little promotional comic called Six Pack, and it had six excerpts from six of their books in it. And they're just black and white. And when I saw Steve Rude's art, black and white, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is some of the greatest, you know, like Alex Toth inspired art I've ever seen. And I started buying Nexus then. And I have the complete run from the very first comics, when it was with Pacific Comics before they moved to First, when Pacific's folded. And I have got, I think there's three books that were like kind of magazine size ones. And one of them came with a floppy disk, like a floppy record that you could play, and it told you the story with sound effects and stuff like that. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So I got those a long time ago because I'm old.
Another Steve Rude thing cheap. I would recommend, there's a crossover between Superman and the Hulk. Mm. Beautifully done.
Oh,
beautifully
painted. Never seen that.
Yeah. Yep. Popshenary or comic?
Let's do Popshenary this time.
Okay.
Made it hard.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
It's going to take a while.
All right. What do you got? What do you want? What number?
Oh, number two.
Really?
Okay, right. Number four.
Oh, all right. That's fine as well. Okay. Here's the thing. It was recently made into a, this is not a clue that's going to help you, but it's
okay.
True.
Okay.
This year, it was made into a TV show based on a movie from the 80s, and people went, we don't like that at all. Take it off the air now. We don't like it. Based on a comedy. It was based on a John Candy comedy.
Hmm.
And it got remade with an African-American gentleman.
Yeah.
And they did not care for that show.
And it was a TV show?
Yes. It is a movie that stars John Candy, as I said,
yeah,
and has a very early role by Macaulay Culkin.
Uncle Buck was made into
Really? Yes.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Two things about that film.
One, the pancake.
I don't know about that.
He cooks a giant pancake and uses a snow shovel to flip it.
Okay. I didn't know that. One is that film is more appealing than you think it will be. Like if you happen, I remember a long time ago, I just caught it on television. I started watching it. I didn't see the beginning of it, but just started watching it. I was like, actually, this is pretty good. And you know what made it good was Macaulay Culkin. Was really good in the movie. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I can see why he was.
Yeah, he does that Jack Webb Grillingham Dragnet style scene. And John Candy is really poppy with the.
Yeah.
He can do the parodies. So it's like he can get into that and does it really well.
It has some good, you know, I'm not going to say it's a classic. I'm not a huge John Hughes fan. I never
Best
was.
Best John Candy film, go.
Best John Candy film. Boy, well, it's going to be one where he's not the main star because let me just think. I'm trying to think here. The Peace Corps one.
Volunteers. I'm going to say Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It's okay. It's got some good scenes.
It's got some...
Great scenes. How does he know which way we're going? Classic. That's a great scene. All right? We still quote that in the car when we're driving. You know, I'll admit that's a great scene. But there's a lot of parts of that film that I don't enjoy. So,
is that a John Hughes movie?
It is a John Hughes film, yes.
All right.
That's why I cannot vote for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles due to my dislike of him wrecking psychedelic furs for me. All right. Pretty in pink.
What do you got? Comics or pop?
I have it. It's on Comictionary.
Yeah, four.
Four. Okay. Well, this is the main. This is not a main character, but he's a feature character of a popular comic strip.
Of a comic strip.
A comic strip.
Snoopy. That you had,
it's in our newspapers. But he's okay.
Dog.
He is a pet owner.
Oh, he is.
Who
a
is
pet.
Rather put upon by his
John
pet.
Arbuckle.
That is correct. I could never get that name, but I knew what it was when I read it. I would not get that myself, but I'm impressed that you
Here's
got that.
Here's my problem with John Arbuckle.
Here's your problem. Okay, if you're going to have a problem with someone, please have it with a fictional character.
All right.
Go ahead.
And I'm not going to talk about where Lyman went. That's
just
that's
very mysterious,
where,
obviously.
Where leaves his dog and then like, leaves.
Mm.
He died, right? Lyman clearly died.
Oh, he's
died
in the basement. He's buried in the basement.
Yeah, well, yeah. Something he knew he didn't have much time left. He brought Odie over, said, let it give him a good home.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. By the way, my problem with Garfield, by the way, is he just became normal over time. When you bring normal out and you see what normal looked like, and he's this cute, marketable kitten, and it's like, then Garfield turns into that.
Yeah, it's much. But I mean, that's a natural progression in art, though, to round out your characters, make them shorter.
Yeah, the only problem then is if you got Nurmal still and you're you just look a small version of Garfield.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the problem with John Arbuckle. The biggest problem with John Arbuckle.
Okay.
He starts off. Yeah. Hi, everybody. First episode. Everyone's got that book. Yeah. Garfield at large. He went, hey, it looked really different. Look, it's funny too, and that hooked everyone on Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm John Arbuckle. I'm a cartoonist, and I work from home. This is my cat, Garfield. And Garfield says something fucking funny. He's never a cartoonist again.
Yeah, that's all right. I did not know he was a cartoonist.
How about, you know, I mean, there's a million things you can do as a cartoonist. Like,
yeah.
you're Now, are you John Arbuckle in the John Arbuckle world of Garfield? Are you a cartoonist that draws a cartoon about Garfield?
Yeah.
And Garfield's how you make a living? Because I don't know how you make a living, John. But but clearly you've got a house.
Yeah, it pays a lot of vet bills.
Yeah, you can pay a vet bill. You never are struggling. John is never struggling for cash by any stretch of the imagination. And also, if you're trying to draw, your cat's going to get in the way. Lots of room for fun there.
Yeah.
Yeah, spilling the ink, shredding the cartoons.
So funny.
Shitting on your work. lots of stuff, but you never have any of that.
Yeah,
so it's just like you were a cartoonist in the first one, and then like nothing.
Yeah.
Have some follow-up on
that. It's such a funny common thing in comic strips, the shitting. Like Snoopy shitting in his dog bowl. And I just love that stuff. I love when Luann's dog shits in her bed. So funny.
Okay. No. I'm not going to give you that one. You're right. You're being ironic with Snoopy. But here's all I got to say about Luann.
Yeah.
What's her damn dog's name?
I don't remember now.
Yes, you fucking know what her damn dog's name is. Don't even start.
Orbit?
No, not Orbit. I don't know that. You're a Luann fan. Why do I know this and you don't know this? I'm getting angry right now.
They don't even show the dog very much. It's only on the weekend page.
He looks out of character because he looks like he's drawn from back when it used to be more cartoony.
Yeah, yeah.
The dog's name
is
Puddles.
Oh, Puddles.
He's called Puddles.
Yeah.
Because he pees everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So don't go throwing out the, he wouldn't do the poop joke, because he is a living pee joke.
Okay, sorry.
Get on your high horse.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Garfield, it's okay. It's one of those strips that, it's kind of like Dilbert became, like, you're kind of required to not like it. It's like a contractual thing you sign in order to be cooler than you actually are.
Well, you put it on your cubicle. That's your thing.
That's what people say, right? Like Dilbert, you put it on your cubicle. Is that what people said about Blondie in the past? When his relationship with Mr. Dithers, they're like, Blondie, it's something you put on your cubicle.
No, Blondie was legitimately funny.
Was or is?
Well, it's not anymore. No. Blondie hasn't been funny in a very long time.
Okay. It's mean of you to say that.
Find me a funny Blondie joke in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
30 years.
They're more contemporary now, too. It's a little...
I just picked one, so I think... or did I? Oh, wait, no, it's me. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. We've got time maybe
for... I feel like we've run out of Garfield comments.
Right. When I saw that Garfield was now a plane, that like Jim...
You know what? Mary, my oldest daughter, she loved Garfield.
Of course she did.
When she was a kid. And I, of course, I never said to her, like, Garfield, that garbage? You know, like, I've been so mean, right? So I just... But in my mind, I was like, oh, she likes Garfield. Ugh.
He's no Heathcliff. Here's why I think people liked Garfield was it was one of the first characters you could draw. If you couldn't draw, you could draw Garfield because he was a series of circles.
Pretty simple.
You going pop or you going comics?
Let's go pop again.
All right.
And I'm going to go one.
Okay. All right.
Like your laugh?
Okay.
Makes you scared.
Well, that was a critical hit.
Dungeons & Dragons?
Yep.
Oh.
Dungeons & Dragons.
Dungeons & Dragons is a game I was very interested in when I was a teenager. I didn't know what it was necessarily, but I just knew that because I liked Lord of the Rings, that sounded like a continuation of something that I was interested in.
And you were right.
And it,
there were elements of there were Lord elements. Of the Rings, yeah.
That's right.
If you wanted to play as Lord of the Rings.
It wasn't till I did go, like, my mom was nice enough to let me sign up for some night classes, how to play Dungeons & Dragons. So you went to this night class, and we went to like some high school, and sorry, my mom had to drive me there. And we would play as a group of kids in a class with an adult. We would play like little dungeon, little kind of, they weren't like full on quests, but we'd have like a puzzle or something like that, and we would have to go through it with their characters. And it was quite interesting. It was just sort of introduce you to the idea of the game and how dice are rolled and what things, you know, and hits and all the rest of it. So that was interesting. And then when I was in grade 9, maybe, I met a fellow in math class. We talked to each other and sort of hit it off together. And it turned out that he had a group of friends that played Dungeons & Dragons together. So then that's when I started to play. And so, yeah, I was able to... at that time, I played a paladin. I played a character as a paladin, which appealed to my...
And that is a guy who will do, what like, a mercenary.
No.
What is a
paladin? Is sort of like a... he's kind of like a gallant knight. Sort of the gallant knight ne plus ultra. There's no one more gallant than a paladin. It's sort of a...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know what a paladin is.
Appealed to my teenage sense of self-righteousness.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I played that for a long time. And played with that group for quite a few years. We probably played from grade 9 all the way to grade 12. We played Dungeons & Dragons. Every Saturday night, we would get together at one of our houses. And I'd stay up till like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, eating nacho chips, drinking pop, and playing Dungeons and Dragons. So that was for quite a long time.
Yeah, and like a 2-liter pop, and then you'd share it in
cups. We'd share it around in the group, and then we'd have bags of chips that parents would buy for us because we were all, you know, teenagers who couldn't be bothered to pay for our own way yet in life. And learn that. We'd learn that our parents did stuff for us, and that was perfect, right? And so that was a lot of fun. Like, we played that for a long time. And then that group decided, you know what? I don't want to be a nerd anymore. You know what would be cool is if we bought alcohol and watched porno films together. That'll be great. By the way, not great. I don't care where you are in your life. Not great. So I ghosted out of that group, mm-hmm. and just sort of floated away from them, which I would do with friends who started like going down like that kind of road. Like, you know, maybe it'd be great, Dave. We should start smoking because this is really cool to smoke. I don't think that's that cool. Oh, by the way, I've already started smoking. That's why I'm suggesting it.
Yeah, of course.
And I would just kind of ghost out of their life and go on. Because, you know, I just, not that I hate people or smoke or whatever, but it's just like, you're kind of going on a road I'm not interested in. Like, what we were doing before was fun. We were writing music together and playing guitar and having fun. Now you want to smoke and go to parties, and I'm not so into that. So, time to move on. So, yeah, I found another group of friends.
So, the D&D thing, it was all fellas?
Nope, girls, guys and girls.
Okay.
And then I joined another group, guys and girls, playing Dungeons and Dragons. And I decided to retire my paladin character, who I felt had become almost too perfect a character. It's kind of no fun to play a character that's so magical and so, you know. So I started playing, and I started playing a monk character. And that was more fun, because I could be more jokey, and he wasn't super powerful or didn't have very much good about him at all. It was kind of fun, and I didn't really treat him like as a religious character, just as sort of a... They're supposed to be like a kung fu character in a way, I think.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun that I was like a disreputable, dissolute monk. And it was fun. It was fun to play that character as a little older.
Did you ever draw your character?
No, I never did. Because, you know, there are people who could actually draw in those Dungeon Masters guides. And I had no way could I compete against them, I said to myself stupidly at the time.
Yeah.
So
and now you're painting the ceilings of Protestant churches.
I'm painting all kinds of ceilings. It's crazy. So yeah, it's...
By the way, there is a siren outside, but I don't think it'll be passing by us. But if you wanted to guess...
Mm.
Oh, possibly it will. No, it won't. Nope, we can't guess. Sorry, everybody.
Too bad. So yeah, that was my quick story of my days as a dungeon.
And mine was, I tried it once with you, spent a lot of time rolling a thing, and then I died in about 45 minutes with a character, and it was like, oh, what's up? Is this character dead forever? Yep. Ah, fuck this. This is not worth the time.
Because
I spent like at least a half hour rolling this thing.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
That was not enough fun.
Wow, that's
yeah.
I wonder who, was I DMing that, or was someone else DMing that?
I'm not sure, but...
that seems kind of mean.
It's okay, it just happened. I might have taken too big a risk.
I don't know.
And then boom, jerky. Dead.
You have there could be a critical hit, as you described it, and yes, terrible things can happen, but if you're a good DM, you should be able to steer your group.
What I wish...
With a sense of risk, but
I
also...
I wish I'd known the skills of doing a role-playing, because I used to buy the kits, like I would buy a Ghostbusters role-playing kit,
yeah.
That'd be really interesting, or a Watchmen one.
Okay.
And I'd be like, oh, I'd really like to play this, but I had no idea really how to play it, and then
yeah,
didn't
or
really
know
anyone who was game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd just read the manuals and, like, you know, read all the characters, and it would always be neat, because you'd get extra insights into things, and you'd be like, oh, that's how a proton pack works.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how the trap works. Okay, well, that's a thing. And so I'd enjoy... I would buy the kits, but I would not play. Maybe that'd be something I should do now, is because I know so many people are into it. Because I got a lot of those still. Maybe break one out and try to do a Ghostbusters game or something sometime.
Yeah. The other thing we did, my brother and brother's friend, we would go to the community center, Wally Community Center,
mm-hmm.
which was a notorious area in Surrey. We go there. There was a dungeon. Gaming group that met there. They didn't just do Dungeons and Dragons, but they did that, and also they played like Star Trek ones, and, you know, that kind of garbage.
Yeah,
and that was very. I didn't. We only went a couple times because it was. We were much younger than these guys. We were still probably grade 10, grade 11, and they were grade 12 or out of going to college. These guys, mm-hmm. but they were like the sort of nerds that. You know, like when people used to talk about nerds, that's the image they would have of these guys.
Yeah, they were solid nerd.
Yeah, they had the kind of big glasses on with the hair that was kind of greasy.
You think nerd now, you think the charming kind of nerd. And it's like, no, this was something was amiss.
Yeah, slick down on the forehead and the bad coats. And the one guy who could like imitate perfectly the monk's chant from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yep.
And he would do it all the time. And the first time you heard it, you'd be like, oh, that's pretty good. And then the 50th time, you're like, got it.
Yeah.
You can stop now, please. But yeah, this is the sort of people, you know, they just like, and they really wanted to lord it over us. And, you know, we felt our place. In fact, I remember leaving, and it wasn't me, but my brother's friend was so mad. He was like insulting this one guy. Like, he's like, oh, that jerk, and da-da-da. And we're making all these jokes about him and stuff like that. And then we realized he was standing behind us. And then he tried to invite us over to his place.
Yeah.
We're like, well, we're not going to come over to your place and get murdered now that we've insulted you, you weirdo. Why would we even think of that?
He's been insulted more than you guys. And at least you guys, you know.
We wouldn't have insulted him.
Sort of the same things that he does.
So. Yeah, but we would have insulted him if he wasn't such a jerk. So
yeah,
that's why, you know, we're like, just doing because we're mean.
A lot of times people are jerks because they don't know what to do. I guess they don't know what to do.
Eh.
You know, and also people are, you know, you always used to be told in school, hey, they're mean to you because they like you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's usually, you know, the opposite sex they're talking about. Like, if they weren't so mean, they wouldn't tease you if they didn't care about you.
Yeah.
And, like, it's possible that was the case. You don't know. Who knows? It was really hard to be a nerd back then.
Oh,
like,
it was,
like, an ugly situation to be a nerd.
Yeah.
You know, I could see how nerds back then would dislike the situation with nerds now and just go, damn it, you don't know.
you don't know this.
Oh, it's good. I'm a nerd. Oh, are you? Did you put in time in the nerd hole? You didn't put time in the nerd hole.
To be clear, of course, we established last week, I was never really a nerd in school. But not that I was cool, as I was posting, but not that I was cool, but I was never like completely like an abject nerd. Even though I had lots of nerdy interests, which was weird, you know. But,
all right, we'll do one more of these, and then I got to go give a cat some medicine.
Yes.
So are we comicking or popping?
You can pop it. Wait, did you do it last time? It's my turn this time.
Oh, well, screw that then.
Weird.
Dan.
Mister, take his turn when it's not his turn. That's who you are.
Here we go.
Okay, we'll do comics.
What's that?
You want to do comics?
Yeah, sure. Number one.
Okay. This guy was invented by Jack Kirby, and Stanley had no idea what it was when it appeared on the page. You know who it is?
It's weird because I know a second character that's like was invented by Steve Ditko that Stanley didn't know. All right, so let's see. He was invented by Jack Kirby, and Stanley had no idea what it was when it appeared on the page.
Yeah.
Is it Spider-Man was one of them.
Jack Kirby invented Spider-Man?
The look of Spider-Man. Okay. Yeah, that was a character.
No,
Jack
this
Kirby.
This is a Fantastic Four character.
Oh, The Thing?
No, this was he's a
Galactus.
He was the herald for Galactus.
Silver Surfer.
That's right.
All right, very good. Jack Kirby had an idea for a character and kind of loosely designed Spider-Man. And,
oh, okay.
It was also based on, there was another character called the Web who was a,
precursor of the internet.
Yeah. But it was like,
you can answer questions.
Red something. Mm-hmm. But it was like the Red Ribbon comics or something, but it was it was later brought into Archie comics, but it was like superior line.
Mm.
You know, they had the Shield and they had all these other characters, but the Web was one of those characters.
I see.
Side note, Steve Ditko, there's a thing where in the beginning of Doctor Strange, it says that Stanley and Steve Ditko created Doctor Strange, which is a little controversial because Steve Ditko did do the dialogue for Doctor Strange. But as that alarm will tell you, if you know the history of Doctor Strange, actually it was fully kind of created by Steve Ditko without the dialogue, but he came up with all the elements. So he was the creator, but then they did it together the first time it ever came out there. So Stanley also gets the creator credits. But that was like a full-on Steve Ditko thing.
Huh.
But the Silver Surfer.
Yes.
That's a weird character.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird, like, people are surfing. This is popular. I'm going to make a character.
The idea of surfing in space is neat.
Yeah.
You know, that you came up with Galactus, who was supposed to be at the time God.
Mm.
Basically, God shows up and like wants to destroy your planet.
Okay.
And then here's, you know, potentially to be saved savior of our world, which will be the Silver Surfer. And then Alicia, who's blind, is a good person. He goes, oh, she's a good person. I should save this world, even though he has like sent many worlds to their doom in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad because they gave him a whole bunch of backstory and kind of spoiled him.
Mm.
Whereas he was fun being this mysterious, weird thing that just surfs on the cosmic waves. And it was like, that's just a nice fantasy thing. Just imagine being able to surf through space.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, here's his backstory. Ugh, who cares? We don't want it to be a tragic backstory.
No. There's characters like that are so great that they really only should appear once.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And like then
anything more than that.
When he did the Fourth World saga over at DC,
yes.
He created his version of Death, who was the black racer who was on skis. And he was Death. And Death would show up on skis and would take you away.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not as good. Not as good as the Silver Surfer, but clearly you were going, what else do people like? Skiing?
Yeah. Skiing?
Done. Yeah.
If he did in the late 70s, he would have been the Silver Skateboarder.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it was it's not a good movie, the second Fantastic Four movie, but the Silver Surfer looks pretty cool in it until he talks his face off and there's nothing to him. But while he's at the beginning, he's really neat.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, the less you know, the better that character is.
Yeah. It's an iconic character, but one of those characters, the less seen, the better.
And currently in the comic, Dan Slott, who's a writer I do like, has decided to basically make him the Doctor. So he's there's a woman from Earth who's traveling with him, and he goes to all these different planets and does stuff. And it's like, okay, you got your entry point with like her going, yeah. "What's this?" And he's like, "I'll tell you what this." And no, just make him weird and mysterious not super complainy, because that was the other thing that's like after he saved the world, Galactus locked him to Earth. And he'd always like ram against the try to get off the Earth and go, the barrier. I'm trapped on Earth. I hate it here. It sucks. I hate being here. I used to go into space.
Yeah.
And now I'm here and it sucks. Ugh. Don't like it. I was like, well, who wants to see that character? Mr. Miserable. Mr. Whiny. Like, I'm in space. Go around. Do some shit.
The Silver sorry for himself. Am I right?
Yeah. It's like, here's the thing about comics. At some point, you got to go, you want them to be characters that you want to be. You want to imagine yourself as Superman flying. You want to imagine yourself as Batman kicking ass.
Yeah.
So when you make the character a sorry sack of shit, like they do with Batman or Superman, it's a problem.
Yeah.
You got to like make it like you want to put yourself in his shoes and do things.
Yeah.
Because you want to be Iron Man. You want the mansion and Gwyneth Paltrow's there.
Yeah.
And you want to have all those suits of armor. That sounds great. He's got problems. Yeah, but it's great. Generally, he has a good time and enjoys himself, even though he's got PTSD. It's great.
And a terrible meth addiction, apparently.
Yeah, Captain America has a good time doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Spider-Man has a good time doing what he's doing.
Yes, they have fun.
Stop being a whiny so-and-so. We don't want to see that as your only thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
I agree. On that note, do you want to...
Yeah, sure. If you want to whine like a so-and-so, please do so for 2 minutes.
Yeah,
on our and we can do it on Skype.
Yep,
go to Skype and it's Sneaky Dragon, and
that's
you can
right.
Skype us. Leave us.
You know, it doesn't have to be that. You can just Skype us and leave a message that you like the show. We'd like to hear that too.
Yeah, or give Dave some constructive criticism. I'm not into that, but Dave is.
I don't
so
mind.
Give Dave lots of constructive criticism. Cough less. That'd be one of those things.
Yeah.
No, he's going to be fine by next week. You know what would help him? A real sugared lozenge.
Yeah.
But he won't take it.
Can't do it.
The other way you can send us stuff is you can send us a WAV file or an MP3 file, and you can send it to our email. That's sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
Louise, who wrote to us,
said
the MP3 was better because it's a smaller file.
There you go.
So that's...
But still, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. You can write us anyway on our message board, that is sneakydragon.com. We have our episodes. Why not post underneath those and say, hey, what's going on? Also on that page, if you feel like buying a t-shirt, hey, it's now a good time to get a shirt because our shirt maker is going out of business. We're going to have to find another shirt maker. So two things here. One, do you know someone who makes shirts who would give us a good deal? Are you a person who makes shirts that would give us a good deal? Talk to us. Let's talk. But right now, if you want to get a shirt, it's a good time. Go to our store. Dave will make one up of almost any one of the title cards that you've got there, as long as the image is one that he drew and isn't one that he just took a Photoshop thing of, because he can't blow that up big enough. But otherwise, if you go, oh, that's beautiful art, I'd love that on a shirt, we can make that shit happen. And that is sneakydragon.com. If you go to Facebook, we've got our page there. As you do. If you go to Twitter, we are sneaky_dragon. That is @sneaky_dragon. And we are also on Tumblr. That's sneakydragon.tumblr.com. We are not on Instagram yet. We will be at some point in the future. I didn't think I was on Instagram. Apparently I am.
You signed up for it.
I haven't put anything up, but I can look at my friends' stuff.
Oh, that's good. That's the best way to creep other people.
Yep.
That's good. That's easier to do. That's what I do too. It's easy. Just one last thing. I just want to apologize for late show last week. I posted it on Sunday in the nice part of the day. It was like it was around 5 o'clock. And then I guess instead of pressing publish, I pressed save.
Perish.
That's right. I pressed save draft. So I just saved it as a file on the site and did not publish it. And I was like, job done. Now I'll go and do whatever I need to do. And I had some stuff I had to do that day. I had that spaghetti dinner to do with the choir, right? So I was doing that in the evening and then came home and then I was doing some work. I was up till 3 a.m. working actually on the coloring project, but I did not check the show because, you know, I just assumed that I did it right. So I apologize, people who, proudly, we drop every Saturday and we've been doing it pretty regularly. I mean, absolutely regularly for a long time now. So I apologize for being late. Because people look forward to it.
And there's a small chance that Dave and I might be at Emerald City Comic Con this Saturday, which is the day this possibly drops. If it drops in time for it to come out and you're at Emerald City, go, hey, are you guys around? And we might be around. We'll see how it goes.
Yes.
The border permitting, many things permitting, life permitting. Life. Am I right? Life. Am I right? That's it for this show. Thanks so much for spending this time with us. Dave has to go cough for a while,
yes.
so he'll do that. And wish him well with health, and that'll send him on his way. Look forward to hearing from all you guys that want to contact us, and if you don't, yeah, that's okay too. All right, I've been Ian.
I've been David.
We're done!
Bye!
Another one. Done!
Life is good. Life is good.